Yo, crew members, what it be?
Heyo!
Y'all ain't getting it this time. That's time?
Y'all ain't getting it this time. Yeah, Anthony is not here today. We don't actually know why. He's real fucking cryptic. He was just like, I got something I got to take care of. Before we go, everything's fine. I just want you guys to know. Yeah. And then that's it. So, who knows what Anthony's doing? Drugs.
Not us. Well, no, that's me.
Yeah, that might be me later. But, and by the way, we're talking about marijuana, folks. Relax. Medicinal marijuana.
Absolutely. We have our cards.
Yes, we do. Well, actually, technically, I don't. They still haven't sent me my new one. I got to call that number.
Yeah, you got to figure something out.
Anyway, so originally we were going to get back into consoles through history, but we didn't want to do the first one in a long time without Anthony, so we decided to pivot, because that's what we do. And instead, we were going to do a news-heavy episode. And actually, once it wasn't going to be CTH, it was going to be the most recent Pokemon Direct, but it was kind of cheeks. So we'll touch on it briefly as part of the news, and then we'll go from there. But let's kick this thing off. I think Wes has a little news. He's got some turtle news.
Yeah, so I am beyond super excited for this one, okay? So we have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin. It is a brand new game that is in development by the people who did the studio that did Destroy All Humans. They are taking pieces of like the God of War games, and they are putting that into this game. So for those who do not know about The Last Ronin, it is a series in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles canon that there's only one brother left. Splinter was killed by Shredder, and they all went for revenge. And there's only one left. I'm not going to spoil who's left. I prefer not.
As you shouldn't.
I have the comic upstairs in my room. I'm going to read it. Like I said, I already know a good bit of the information, but I actually want to be able to read it. But so we have, I believe this has been announced for 2024. Because it did just drop, at the digital event showcase that was for THQ Nordic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, so essentially that's what it is. You are the last turtle. You are there to essentially get your revenge. And then you find out like which one you are, I'm guessing. There is going to be a new sequel for The Last Ronin, the comic. And the first issue will be released on December 13th. Let's see here. All right. Don't need to worry about that. Also, best part, we'll be able to play it. PS5, Series S and X.
Let's go, baby.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Another thing I have that also came from the THQ Nordic event. You and Anthony are going to be very, very happy.
I'm hoping. I am hoping.
You are getting a new South Park game. It is called South Park Snow Day, and it is a 3D co-op multiplayer.
See, that's where I'm interested because, and this is where I'm going to stay very even. I don't want to get too high or too low because the fact that
Now Andy's looking at images of
Cartman and his
from the game.
Cartman in his Grand Wizard outfit. He looks great. But the only thing that makes me slightly nervous is the fact that it's not made by Ubisoft, which is who did The Fractured Butthole and Stick of Truth. So this is THQ Nordic. They're not, you know.
Their biggest claim to fame is
Remnant.
Remnant. I mean, look, you also have
Alone in the Dark, I liked. What else? Destroy All Humans. Is that also THQ Nordic? Yep. So, yeah, THQ Nordic does good work. I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I'm just saying, you know, there's a level of expectation that I have with the two that already came out with Ubisoft that I wouldn't worry as much. This being something a little new, I'm going to you know, like I said, stay pretty even on it. But I'm so excited to be able to play it with people. The South Park universe is hilarious. I had nothing but fun the first two games that I played. I actually dug out. I have the original South Park game that came out for the N64. I dug it out not long ago.
Oh, really?
And it's so funny playing it now as a 34-year-old adult as opposed to when I was like a 12-year-old kid playing that and not understanding the little things. Because there's no way that there were certain things that I understood, like humor that I would have picked up on when I was 12. Like, you know, you could like dig up snowballs and throw them, or you could do like this special thing where you'd hear Cartman or whoever you're playing unzip, piss on the snowball, and then throw it, and it would do extra damage. But little dumb 12-year-old me was just like, why am I switching white snowballs for yellow ones? But now I get it. But no, I am really, really excited about that. The co-op aspect is what's going to sell it for me. Because I kept thinking, like, man,
I feel like that's what's going to sell it for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, everyone likes to play games with people, you know? But why don't you move us into a little... We got some Destiny, huh?
I do, and I went from being, like, really, really down from the death of Lance Riddick. Everybody knows him mm-hmm. for the Destiny world as Commander Zavala. When Lance Riddick passed, it left a huge hole in, at the very least, two very huge games. It left a huge hole in Verizon, or not Verizon. Jesus
Verizon.
Christ. Verizon is a cable company.
Horizon?
Horizon, yes. Yeah, it left a huge hole for that game. So whenever they do make another one, I'm very curious. They might even actually just do exactly what Destiny is doing. And obviously, like I said before, Destiny 2. So we now know from Bungie, who is being recast as Commander Zavala, and it is none other than Keith David.
And I love Keith David.
Keith David is one of my favorite voice actors of all time.
Keith David was a voice in the original Mass Effect, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He
was the
Black
General.
Yeah. Yep. His voice, he's got one of those voices that you can't mistake for anybody else. The second you hear it, you know it's him. He's done a lot of voiceover work.
He's done a bunch.
He's done a lot of voiceover work. Yes. And just acting in general. I mean, shit, he was in, Armageddon? He was in, I'm trying to think.
I forgot he was in Armageddon.
Yeah.
I completely forgot he was in Armageddon.
Yeah, I think that's the first place I ever saw him.
That's a good point. You're probably right. You are probably right. Look, I know him mainly from cartoons. He was Goliath in Gargoyles.
Never watched it.
Oh, my God, dude. It is such a great show.
A lot of cartoons I missed.
Dude, I rewatched the series again when I got Disney Plus because it was on there.
I was your super standard Nickelodeon kid when it came to cartoons. So I didn't, you know, I never, as much as I know and understand the story, I never watched Gargoyles. I never watched Batman. I never watched Ninja Turtles. I never watched, you know, like, I missed out on all those.
Yeah. He was also, let me see here. I got his stuff pulled up here. So in Mortal Kombat 11, he's Spawn. I mean, he's normally Spawn anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like from the HBO series and the movie. Well, not the movie. That was Michael J. White. But
I was about to say, it's kind of strange that they didn't go with Michael J. White for even the animated. What came out first? The animated
cartoon
show
on
the movie?
HBO?
Or the, what was there an animated show before HBO?
No, because HBO did, they took it to the next level.
Well, the movie was dark, so, I mean, the whole premise is dark.
Yeah, very much so.
So the movie was the very first thing, and then it was the show?
I think it was the other way around. Because, I mean, look, it was written by Todd McFarlane back in the 90s, or in the 80s, maybe. And it, like, I'm almost guaranteed that it was a TV show before it was a movie. I mean, like I said, it was a comic before anything. You also know Keith David from The Princess and the Frog. He is Dr. Fauciet. You know what I mean? The voodoo doctor. Mass Effect. You mean he plays David Anderson. Let's see. He was in Halo 2.
He was, yes, he was.
Thel Vadam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was, wasn't that the character you played as?
I don't remember. I do not remember. But he's super prominent.
Dude, he is. Like
yeah,
I said,
I remember him from some Call of Duty. Some, like I said, Mass Effect for sure is the first game that I remember. Like, oh, that's definitely him. But he's had a hell of a career. It's still going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's still
going.
Yeah,
and then, like we said, picking him for Destiny 2, fantastic. I couldn't think of a better person to use for that spot. And I never thought about Keith David for that spot before. You know what I mean? When they talked about, you mean eventually having to replace Lance Riddick. But, nah, man, I thought that was so fucking cool. You know what I mean? Having Keith David being picked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a... I don't know... Now, like you said, you can't replace Lance Riddick, but that's a pretty damn good backup.
Absolutely.
Pretty damn good backup.
Uh-oh, this one.
I got everything I need right here.
Okay.
For that. So, we are going to now move into the Pokemon Direct. Now, like I said, I'm not going to go too crazy, but we do have a little breakdown.
We're not diving too deep?
No, we've got a breakdown of everything they had. So I'm going to start with, excuse me, I had to burp there. Pokemon Path to the Peak, which is a new animated series focused on the trading card game. This part was actually kind of cool when I saw the trailer, just because it was something different. It wasn't your typical Pokemon show where, you know, someone goes and become, you know, they get a Pokemon and then they go off on their journey.
You mean they get,
you know,
to be
Ash
the very
style.
Best?
Correct. So I was actually
like
excited.
No one ever was?
I was excited that it was kind of different. So basically, it's the story of, I believe it was a little girl who was on her journey to be like the best Pokemon trading card player. You know, collecting
really?
Cards and doing. Yeah, it was different, and I like the art style too.
If you
look it up, you'll understand what I mean. The art style isn't like your typical CGI. It looks a little different, but I dig it. But they didn't go too in depth there, except for to, you know, just
so
to tell you
again?
That it's a new show. It's called Pokemon Path to the Peak.
Path to the Peak. Okay.
Yeah. We also got a look into Detective Pikachu Returns. That got a new trailer. The only thing that throws me off, I'm not even mad, you know, about Detective Pikachu, you know, the game and all that shit, but the voice that they chose for Pikachu drives me nuts. It just drives me nuts. It sounds like a friggin' 48-year-old man, which, again, I understand they had Ryan Reynolds playing him in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but Ryan Reynolds also can sound younger.
True.
And he's got that, like, goofy tone and all that shit, so, you know, it worked out. But the Pikachu's voice in Detective Pikachu drives me nuts. But that will arrive on October 6th, exclusively on the Twitch.
The Twitch?
On the Switch. I said the Twitch, huh?
You did say the Twitch.
On the Nintendo Twitch. On the Nintendo Switch.
Don't say that too loud. We don't get in trouble.
Yeah, right. What do we have up next? Pokemon Horizons. The series is coming soon. We got a first look at Pokemon Horizons, the series. While not much was shared, we do know it would be set in the Paldea region based on the Pokemon that appeared in the series. They have not given a release date, just noted that it is coming soon.
I mean, look, just to be honest, to be clear, with the last Ronin stuff, it was basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a little snippet of video. That
yeah,
was
they
it.
Didn't really give much in the way of actually letting you know when shit was coming. And then to piggyback right off that with the Paldea region, you're also get those monsters are now coming to Pokemon Go. So you'll we were just joking. Wes and I were just joking the other day because I was like, does anyone play Pokemon Go anymore? Because when we were driving to Atlantic City, Wes spotted a car that had a... It had a little sticker on it that was the little the egg when
the
it's about
egg,
to hatch
yeah.
and it said O with the question mark. And I was like, does anyone even play that anymore? And he said, I don't know. I was like, well, does your wife? And he said, no. I was like, well, then no one plays anymore.
My wife was quite avid.
She was
playing that game, yeah.
To the point where, like, when I would come over to podcast, she would be sitting on her couch with an incense burn and just catching Pokemon from the couch. Genius.
She
genius,
knows the
genius,
deal.
Genius.
She knows the deal.
See, so this I already knew because, and you'll find this out when we get to what are we playing, but I have been playing something on, wow, I just, like, my brain just went to mush. I've been playing something on the N64 emulator on the Switch, so when I logged in the other day, I saw that there were two new games that popped up, and it was the Pokemon Trading Card Game and Pokemon Stadium 2, which is cool, because Pokemon Stadium was already on there. And Pokemon Stadium, I love that game. That's the game that kicked it off for, you know, everything from, obviously, Stadium 2, Pokemon Coliseum, Pokemon Battle Revolutions. Like, those games where you could... Now, the only thing I don't know how it would work, because one of the biggest... one of the coolest things about that game was that you could load in your actual Pokemon from your game and battle with them. Obviously, I don't know how you would do that on the Switch, so you'll probably just have to use what they have, which is fine. But I never played the Pokemon trading card game, like the actual game.
See, that sounds... Oh, you mean like in person?
I played in person.
Okay.
But this is like the video game version. Uh-huh. That I haven't played.
Yeah, I haven't done that either. And that's actually... Dude, I might fuck with that just because that just sounds interesting.
Yeah, if you want to go to the next one, you can take over.
This one here?
Nope, next one. That's the one I was just talking about. The trading card game. That with Mew and Mewtwo. Yeah.
So they are absolutely trying to bring people back. I know this for a fact. You have to be. Dude, have you seen half of the shit that they've done with the game? Like they've given like a bunch of the legendaries a past, you know what I mean, like version of them.
Past version? No, I didn't.
Okay, so you played the game, right?
Yeah.
All right. What? So Area Zero.
We were playing together.
That is true. So Area Zero?
Yeah.
Right? In there, you have the different versions of, like, normal Pokemon?
Yes.
Yeah, so they've made different... I mean, they've made, like, those versions...
Of legendaries.
Of certain legendaries, yeah.
That's sick. Well, like, I do know that they had...
It's sick to an extent.
Well, like, I do know that, like, you had to catch... like, I caught the legendary birds... in there, but they were different. They were different types. I don't know if that's what you mean. Like Zapdos, Moltres, and Articuno, I caught already. But that, like I said, they were different types, so I don't know what Pokemon you're talking about specifically, but...
I'm trying to... So, like, Iron Moth, Iron Hands, you know what I mean? Those guys?
Yeah, I remember
those. Yeah, like Slitherwing. Yeah, so those... So you have those, but now we're... They're going to be adding more. So they're going to be adding, like, the electric dog from
Raikou,
yeah. Except for he has a long neck like the Alolan Exeggutor.
Okay, are they doing all the things from that one? Like, are they doing Suicune and Entei as well? Or
I think they did Suicune.
Okay, I feel like it'd be weird to just do one of them.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm trying to start. So just to give a little bit of information to everybody, I am going through Bulbapedia right now, trying to find if I can pull up what the hell these...
Here's an interesting question to think on while you're looking for that, while we're on this topic. You've played basically just about every Pokemon, every, like, generation of Pokemon games that came out, you've played one of them. You know, from Red and Blue all the way up to Scarlet and
Violet. I think the only one I didn't was Silver, Gold, or Platinum. I haven't played any of those.
Okay, well, did you play Diamond or Pearl? Because Platinum was from that run.
No, I didn't play.
You didn't
Diamond
play
Diamond.
Okay.
No.
So all right. So outside of those, obviously those you wouldn't know. But what is your least favorite run of legendaries from a game? Not one specific one, but like what game's legendaries do you think were the weakest to you? Where you were just like, I don't even care if I catch these. For me, easily, I don't remember which game it is. You'd have to look, but it's the one that had I think it was like, I don't even know how to pronounce them. One was like Terrakion. The other one was Kabalion. And then Virizion or Virizion or something like that. Type in Virizion for me. Type in V-I-R.
Hang on.
Yeah, because I'll find out what games they're from. You know them. Well, unless it's the one game you haven't played. V-I-R-I-Z-I-O-N. Yeah, that one.
Oh, that one. Okay.
What games were they from?
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, and that run of legendaries was so whack to me. Like, I didn't give a shit if I caught them.
I mean, look, I'm already sitting in the same boat with you on that one.
I caught them just to catch them.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
their plans
Gen 5.
To catch them all. Gen 5, okay.
But yeah, look, I fully have no interest.
I also, you know, I like them a little more now. At the time, I also wasn't super big on like Mesprit, Uxie, and Azelf, the three little tiny fucking fairy psychic ones.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a fan of them either.
I liked Celebi, but that's only because Celebi was fucking powerful as shit in the what was the first one that we were playing off of the 3DS? Like where all three of us were playing.
What were the legendaries from that game, or what was that game in general?
No, that one Pokemon in general, because we were able to get like the gifts, yeah. And one of them was Celebi, like one of them was Celebi, one of them was Darkrai.
Darkrai, Genesect also. Did that one have Genesect?
The one, it might have had Genesect.
It was like that bug that you, that steel bug that you could change the drives in to change its type.
Ah, yeah.
Right. I don't remember what game that was. I feel like it was Platinum, but you said you never played Platinum.
I never played Platinum.
Who knows?
But, yes.
Slightly off topic there. Well, on topic,
it's
but
it's Pokemon, so.
It is. But, you want to continue? Because I know there was a little bit more.
Yeah.
A lot of it was heavy on, the Pokemon World Championships.
Which are going on right now. Adrian talked about wanting to go check them out. You know what I mean? Since he's over there in Japan now anyway, so.
I wouldn't hate on that.
Nah, not at all.
But anyway, so moving right along into the Pokemon Paldean Winds is a new animated web series coming September 6th. Much like the games, it's based on Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, and it will focus on a student who wants to become a Pokemon trainer. So everything I said that Pokemon Path to the Peak was not, mm-hmm. that is what this is.
Okay. So I realized that when we were talking about all this Mew and Mewtwo stuff, that I didn't actually, I buried the lead completely. I didn't even say anything about this.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So Pokemon Scarlet and Violet players can now add Mew and Mewtwo into their collections. You can obtain Mew now by entering the password Get Your Mew, all one word, GETYOURMEW. And in the mystery gift, and then you will get yourself a Mew. And then I'm guessing the Mewtwo will just be popping later at some point. Or maybe you actually evolve it. I mean, because it doesn't...
Evolve what?
It's not naturally evolving, the Mew. Yeah, Mew doesn't naturally evolve.
Mew doesn't evolve. You can't evolve. You've never been able to evolve Mew.
That's what I thought.
They're two separate Pokemon.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, so, you know, we got Mew and Mewtwo coming, which... I mean, look, that's pretty damn cool, running with, like, some of the, like, Omega-level fucking Pokemon. Because, I mean, Mewtwo is supposed to be the baddest bitch in Link.
I was about to say, they do a really good job at... And you know, it's funny. I shouldn't laugh at this, considering it's a real thing. But did you notice the horrendous typo on that, by the way?
On what?
Up here? Read in bold there.
Mew and Mewtwo are coming to Pokemon...
Nope, read it again.
Mew and Mewtwo.
Me too, is what I saw. Anyway, what I was going to say was Pokemon does a really good job at reminding you, like what you said, just how bad of a motherfucker Mewtwo is. Because you get all these new games, and you get your Zygards and Kyurems, and you know they bring in these black crazy Charizards and all that shit, and then they're like, but y'all just remember, Mewtwo's that motherfucker.
See, it makes me want to see Mewtwo go against like Arceus, or you know what I mean, or one of the legendaries from that run. You know what I mean? Because I mean, there's no other way to put it, dude. Arceus is,
you know what we should do?
That is the starter. You mean, that is the original.
We should make a. I'm gonna get this together, and we'll post it, and people can vote on it. We should do a Pokemon bracket. How cool would that be?
Oh.
To see like who's
okay. Like, who's, I
not,
like
not,
it.
Not who would not who you think you would beat. We could do that, like who you think would beat who, but then you'd get in the weeds there with a bunch of people with their own ideas of what. So maybe we'll just do a bracket of people's favorites.
I like it a lot.
It'll be tough to figure out how to do it because I'm not trying to use all like 15,000 Pokemon that they have at this point. But
I mean, look, we can even just go. We can go Gen 1.
That's too easy. I'll figure it out. But anyway, so I think that'll do it for the Pokemon Direct, I think, right? I mentioned Pokemon,
sure.
Paldean Winds. I did that. Oh, the DLC. We did talk about this before, I think, before we...
I mean, we didn't even really know that much about
it. No, we just said that they were coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's what everybody's been waiting for. I mean, this game came out last year.
Yeah.
Most people like you and me, you know what I mean, we've already beaten it. Anthony caught everything. Well, I don't know. Okay, I didn't know if you did or not. Yeah. I mean, I know that's your goal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, if the teal mask, I mean, when it comes around next month, September 13th, if the teal mask actually gives you more Pokemon, will you jump back in to catch them all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that so much. That's dedication, baby. That's what that is.
You ain't lying. You ain't lying.
I don't normally.
So before we get into what are we playing, so Game Rant put out the 10 best-selling video game franchises of all time. And, you know, and they're ranked based on, you know, how many titles and how many, you know, just how many copies of their shit that they've sold. And I thought I had a firm handle on what would be in this top 10 and what wouldn't, and if it was in there, where it would be. With the exception of one, I was pretty much off on most of them.
Really?
Yeah, which is wild. So, like, I'll just, for spoilers here, I'll tell you right now, Zelda, not even in it.
Zelda's not in it.
Not even in the top 10. No. That was shocking to me. And not even just because it's my favorite game. It's just that that's a legendary run of games.
Yes, absolutely.
And no pun intended. But anyway, so coming in at number 10, and I also thought I had an idea of, because you start thinking, you think top 10, you think, okay, what games, what franchise, what series have been around for a while that would have those numbers, you know, over the span of years and years. Yeah. So when I saw coming in at number 10, I didn't think Assassin's Creed.
But it makes sense, though.
It makes sense that they're closer to 10 than to 1, because yes, they are still a newer... They debuted, what, on the original Xbox, I think?
Yeah.
I believe so. So
yeah, pretty sure it was the original Xbox.
It says, given that most of the best-selling video game franchises have been around since before the turn of the century, for Assassin's Creed to have shifted more than 200 million units since its 2007 debut is quite the achievement. So 2007 that came out, and yeah, they sold 200 million-plus copies. In
and that's
that time.
With every game.
That's with every game. Says it's of course it certainly helps that including spin-offs, the series has averaged just shy of two new titles a year since the very first Assassin's Creed. You imagine that? Think of how long we've now. I haven't played them all, so I don't know if it's one of those things. Like, I don't know if you can equate that to like what you and Anthony went through with Madden, where it's like there's really no point in buying it every year. I'll buy it every two or every three so I can actually see some changes.
There was a point that that people were not really digging the Assassin's Creed games. What brought a lot of people back was Origins.
Okay.
Origins was one of the ones that brought a lot of people back into the series. And then from there, that's where they went to Unity, or Syndicate, I think it was something like that. I forget what the fucking name was.
You know, you crank out a lot of titles when people can't even remember all of them.
Yeah. Obviously Valhalla, you know what I mean? That one has fucking killed it.
I mean, like they said, just shy of two new titles a year since the first one in 2007. That's 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
About two titles a year. That's probably around 30 games.
Yep.
In 15 years. Meanwhile, it took us like 7 years to go from Borderlands 2 to Borderlands 3. But the game is incredible. Coming in at number 9, I believe Jess played these, The Sims.
Yes. Once you said Jess, I figured it was Sims.
That's where it went. It says, for The Sims to have racked over 200 million sales, an impressive feat indeed, especially when one considers that there have only been 4 mainline titles.
Yes.
So I would argue that that's way more impressive than Assassin's Creed. To only have 4 titles,
yeah,
and have sold over 200 million copies over the last however many years.
I have some ideas on what game series might be on this list.
Okay.
Because we're adding in PC stuff.
Okay.
So,
we probably, you don't have to list it, you don't have to say it now, because we probably both, well, I already know, you probably have a great idea of what number 1 is, so we'll leave that out. But outside of that, name me 3 that you think are on there.
Okay. So, since you said Sims, for some reason, that just made me just start shooting off into just, you know, I mean, everything with PC. So, I'm thinking, like, Counter-Strike.
Okay. Counter-Strike?
I'm thinking Dota.
Okay. So, you said...
I said Dota.
You said Dota, Counter-Strike. Give me one more.
I'm going to say World of Warcraft.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that none of those three are on there.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm dead serious. All right, so let's move
Shit, okay, let's move right on.
Moving right into number eight, again, hovering right around the 200 million plus sold, is the entire Lego franchise.
That makes a lot of sense. You have because they have the entire Skywalker run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have a bunch of Marvel games.
Now,
that makes a lot of fucking sense.
Now, to be fair, although there have only been one or two big sellers, the success of the Lego video games is more to do with strength in numbers than individual brilliance. They have cranked out those Lego games. Damn near every universe has a Lego game. Marvel's got them. Harry Potter's got them. Well, Lord of the Rings has them.
So think about it this way. A Lego game right now is the easiest copy and paste for anything.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Anything. Turning it into a Lego world that can just easily make it like, dude, I'm not surprised at all. And yes, they probably did have a fuck. I mean, yeah, they have to have a fuck ton of them out.
Yeah. Well, here you go. They're ranging from tacky mobile titles to licensed games based on some of the world's biggest media IPs. There have been more than 100 Lego games since the turn of the century.
Wow.
More than 100. Now, when they said only one or two big sellers, I would imagine some of the bigger ones were Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Marvel.
Yeah.
Batman. So. Batman, I know.
Oh, the Batman
one.
Ones were great.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, it actually says it right here. Among the most successful properties are Lego Star Wars, Lego Indiana Jones, and Lego Batman, which between them have shifted well over 50 million units over the years. So that's a quarter of their sales come from those three right there.
I love more than I could possibly tell you that Indiana Jones is on that.
Yeah.
That is so fucking great to me because Indiana Jones is nobody who's a kid now is really going to know about Indiana Jones when they're a teenager. They're really not.
And coming in at number seven with a little over 248 million, it's the Land of the Creepers.
Minecraft,
baby. As well as being one. Now, let's be honest. When you first laid your eyes on Minecraft, would you have ever thought that that would have landed, that you'd play that game and be like, someday this game is going to land on a list of one of the 10 best-selling games of all time?
No, I didn't, but at the same time,
I mean, get it now.
I mean, the game is literally a sandbox.
Yeah.
It is a sandbox.
Mm-hmm. So, this says right here, as well as being one of the best-selling video game franchises of all time, Minecraft also holds the distinction of being one of the best-selling games. Pretty much all the quarter of a billion sales or so that the series has achieved can be attributed to the influential sandbox title, with Minecraft Dungeons attracting another 10 million players or so, excuse me.
And Minecraft Dungeons is a really fun game, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great Diablo-style co-op multiplayer.
And this just shows you how much they believed in it, because it says, given the huge success of the franchise, it's no wonder that Microsoft was willing to part with so much money to acquire Mojang in 2014, with the tech giant handing over $2.5 billion to make the deal happen. That may seem like a lot, but given that the series has generated more than $3 billion in game sales alone, well invested.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely. Microsoft make their money back easy.
Again, if anyone wants to see this list, I'm reading this off of GameRant.com. Now, coming in number six, we have, you should be able to guess this the way I say this, it's the only sports title to land on here. And I was actually shocked that any sports title landed on here.
Well, it has to be Madden then.
No.
PGA?
Nope. FIFA. Remember, FIFA
makes
global.
A lot more sense. Okay.
I was about to say, soccer's a global sport.
I am sorry. I am an American.
It says,
we don't know much about football.
And this is one of the bigger jumps, too, because Minecraft came in at 7 with 248 million.
This has to be close to 400 mil.
325.
Okay.
325 plus. Considering North Americans are only just now beginning to appreciate the joys of football, the success of EA's FIFA franchise is all the more impressive. Series has been receiving annual multi-platform releases since 1994. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah.
I really didn't. The lion's share of its 325 million sales having come from European and South American countries. Makes sense. Makes total sense.
I mean, the biggest countries.
Soccer's a global giant. I have this conversation. I've had it with Alex multiple times. I have it with anybody that talks about, you know, how you know, look at hockey, how ludicrous it is that the top player makes, I forget what the salary cap is now, but when I had this conversation, $12.5 million was the max you could have per year. Which, again, if your argument is athletes make too much money, fine. I'm with it. I understand.
If they capped it like hockey, that would be very interesting.
But whenever people say that, I'm like, and they, because they end it with, man, there's a real problem with sports in this country. And I'm like, that's where I'm going to back you up. This country doesn't even touch how crazy it gets with sports. I was like, soccer, which is globally the biggest sport out there, Mbappe was, I'm pretty sure, just offered a deal, funny enough, that he turned down, that this one deal would bring him more money than LeBron James has made over his entire career.
Was it the one with the Saudis?
Yes, and that makes sense because they're some of the richest people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
People talk about, like, Musk and Zuck and all that, who are definitely rich, but it's like, look at the Saudi
here.
Princes and
that's
shit.
That's rich here.
Yeah. The Saudi royal family?
Can't touch.
No.
You can't even fathom the amount of money they have.
Exactly. So FIFA comes in at number 6. And then
that makes a lot of sense.
In number 5, with $405 million, we're getting up there, $405 million plus, GTA.
So
that doesn't surprise
reason,
me.
The reason why I think that one really, like, 5, GTA 5 and GTA Online have really, I mean, especially GTA Online, because, I mean, over the last, like, probably 10 years, dude, it has really helped them out.
You're right on the money, because it started in the 90s is when GTA first came out, but it does say a significant proportion of the series' 400 million plus sales can be attributed to its fifth mainline installment, with GTA 5 having sold more than 185 million copies worldwide in the decade or so since its initial release. Yeah. For those wondering, this is more than twice as many as the 4 previous mainline games between them. And the ones before them were fun and were good, but 5, they
1,
just
2,
really
3 in San Andreas. Yeah.
Yeah, Vice City, which one was?
Would Vice City be count?
I forget which one was Vice City. 3? I forget.
I think it was 3.
Coming in at number 4. You'll be able to get it when I say this, because
do we break over half a bill?
No. We're at 425 million plus.
Really?
And it is a first-person shooter, but it is not Counter-Strike.
Don't tell me it's Fortnite. No, well, no. Fortnite's over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Fuck. Valorant?
The elephant not in the room right now is playing it.
Oh, COD.
Yep, Call of Duty. Having beat...
That makes sense.
Man, it's weird reading a sentence that starts off with these three words, having beaten off. Having beaten off strong competition from the likes of Medal of Honor
is
and Battlefield.
Is that what you've done?
That's what it says. Having beaten off strong competition from the likes of Medal of Honor and Battlefield, both of which had amazing games, Call of Duty is now widely regarded as being the top dog when it comes to multiplayer first-person shooter games. Unsurprisingly, yes. This has led to phenomenal sales over the years, with the franchise having shifted more than 425 million units since its 2003 debut. Of the 12 Call of Duty titles to have broken through the 10 million unit mark, it is Black Ops that leads the way with an impressive 30.72 million, Modern Warfare 3 at 30.71, and Black Ops 2 at 29.59 million take second and third, respectively.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. We're into the big dogs, the top three. Any idea what's in the top three?
All right, dude. You. No.
All right.
I'm trying to think.
Coming in at number three, we just talked about how.
After you beat him off, now he's coming in.
Yeah, first we had to beat them off, now we got to catch them all. Pokemon.
Nice. How the fuck did...
We still have not cracked the 500 million yet, by
really?
The way. But we're close. There are 480 million.
Nice.
Pokemon has generated more...
How the fuck did I not think Pokemon?
Listen to this ridiculous number, by the way. Since its inception back in 1996, Pokemon has generated more than $88 billion. Making it the highest grossing media franchise of all time by some considerable margin. It falls some way short of being the best-selling video game series, though, with Pokemon games only accounting for a small proportion of the franchise's overall revenue.
Oh, no, yeah. Dude, it's the movies and the TV shows.
And the cards and the...
I mean, the cards were the start.
And everything Pokemon branded, basically.
Yeah.
But in total, Pokemon has shifted more than 480 million units, with the Gen 1 titles accounting for around 31 million of those. Sword and Shield come in second place with 25 million. Gold and Silver take Bronze with 23 million. And what's really nice is that Scarlet and Violet aren't too far behind at 20.6 million.
Nice.
So that's nice when you're...
And with that new DLC coming in, that's absolutely going to go up.
It's nice when you have a franchise that starts all the way back in 1996, and they're still putting out games that people are considering some of the best that they've put out.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. That's the sign of a good company.
And when you said Sword and Shield, so my thought immediately went to, okay, it's because of the open worldness.
Yeah.
Because, look, that and also, you're actually, on level now. Not everything's over the top.
Yeah.
Or, angled.
Yeah.
Now you're actually on level, so, the game feels much more interactive.
And it says it's more than likely that that Scarlet and Violet will break into the top three before it's all said and done.
I believe it. They did such a great job with that game.
And here we are, the top two juggernaut. Well, the first one's a juggernaut. The next one, we're still not into the 500 million, and even with two, we're close. We're at 495 million, and this is where I thought that Zelda would be. I thought Zelda would be top three. I thought Pokemon would be top three. I was right. I thought Zelda would be in there. Zelda not even being in the top 10 is wild to me.
That is pretty nuts.
Coming in at number two, Tetris.
I believe it.
Given its many releases and the fact that copies of Tetris were often bundled with the original Game Boy, it's easy to see how the title has amassed more than 70 million physical sales over the years. However, the game's success as a paid mobile app may come as a surprise to many, with reports suggesting that more than 425 million people had purchased it for their phones as of 2014.
I mean, it is the purest form of nostalgia for, for basically anybody older than us.
Yeah.
Because, that's the era that, the Gen X, like all of them, that's what they were playing. That's how they started getting into video games.
Agreed.
Where stuff like Tetris and Frogger and all that shit.
Coming in at number one, who I thought would be number one, who I'm assuming you would think would be number one, the juggernaut of all juggernauts, the Italian plumber himself.
Yeah.
Mario. Coming in now, every number so far has gone up.
A little bit.
Yeah. 400 to 405 to 420 to 480. Number two, Tetris, coming in at, what did I say?
495 million.
And here comes Mario just slaying bitches at 832 million plus.
I mean, look.
Put it this way. By the time.
And we are talking.
I would say in a couple of years, they'll be over a billion.
And you just said you're talking about a series. You're talking about a series. And with it being a series, it's a franchise. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
All the movies. Because I think there are three of them total. All the movies, all the TV shows, all the video games, everything that branches off from that, because I know that there were comics at one point.
Mm-hmm.
All of that shit. Again, I expect nothing less from a company that's been around since 1889.
I'm interested to hear what you think that these are going to be, by the way, because one of them actually surprised me. So it couldn't come as much of a surprise that Mario is the best-selling franchise of all time. Its 832 million unit sales place it well ahead of the nearest contender and are bolstered by a variety of hugely successful spin-off series, which include Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Sports. These three series alone that I just mentioned have accumulated more than 290 million sales, which is funny because I've never played a Mario Sports game, ever.
Neither have I.
But anyway, though the bulk of the franchise earnings come from the mainline Super Mario Brothers titles themselves, so the top two selling games, I'm assuming you could figure out what number one is.
Well, it's got to be the original.
Exactly, the OG, Super Mario Brothers. What shocked me, and that comes in at 40.4 million, number two at 30.8 million is the new Super Mario Brothers. That shocked me. I would have thought for sure it would either be 3 or Super Mario World.
Yeah, I would have.
Or even, I would have easily said 3. Or even possibly Super Mario 64.
Yeah, that one did have a pretty
good new Super Mario Brothers, I haven't even played it. However, do you know what their highest selling individual game is?
Highest selling individual would.
It's a surpriser. You're probably not going to guess it.
Lost World?
No. Mario Kart 8. 64 million sales.
I'm a part of that.
I'm a part of that too. I just wouldn't have thought.
And I'm a part of the sales with the DLC and buying all that shit.
Those are all the
fucking races.
So games that shocked me that weren't on that list. Like I said, Zelda I thought for sure would be on there. I had thought just because of the sheer numbers that Final Fantasy might be in there, probably more towards 10 than 1, but I thought Final Fantasy might end up in there. What else? There was another one that I was thinking of too. Madden shocked me, but then I was like, Madden's more of an American US thing anyway. Thing. So, you know. But anyway, that's the top 10 franchises of all time. I'll have to look it up afterwards, but I'm interested to see where Zelda's at.
Yeah, they would have to be. If they're not top 20, I would be flabbergasted.
Now what I will say is they are at a slight disadvantage compared to most of the things you saw on the list because of how few things they have. They don't have trading cards. They don't have movies. They don't have animated shows. There was one animated Zelda show back in the day, way back in the day. They don't have that. And they're not cranking out titles like Mario constantly, where you're getting 2 or 3 a year. They don't have racing games and this and that. I mean,
they're in them, but...
True. Well, they're not in the racing games. Well, are they?
Link's in Mario Kart 8, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that far, I guess. He's not a standard character, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Are you sure? Really?
Yeah. And you get to use his motorcycle. And maybe. Ancient motorcycle, ancient wheels...
Oh, you're right. Yep.
The whole fucking thing.
You are right. You are right. Yo, that's my boy. I remember him being in that, and I remember Sheik, him, and Zelda being in Smash.
Yes. I was about to say that as well.
Ganon as well. Ganondorf as well. But, yeah, so, like, maybe that's why they don't make that list, because who are you going to dethrone? Like I said, Assassin's Creed, putting out 2 games a year since 07. Numbers-wise, you're not going to beat that.
True.
You know, Pokemon and Mario and all that shit with their shows and all the other shit that they got going on. So maybe that's why they're not there. Because you're not getting... You get a Zelda game maybe every couple years.
Yeah.
So, especially now that they're getting a lot more deeper and all that shit with the like, if they're going to keep cranking out games in the style of Breath of the Wild, you're getting them things like every 3-4 years.
Yeah, because that's just a lot. That is a lot to do.
Yeah. But yeah.
Word.
All right. Why don't we... You know the deal.
I get to press buttons. Yeah, hang on.
Yes, you do. And I get to squirt something in my mouth.
So, now it is time to go ahead and let all the crew members at home and the ones abroad, we're going to tell you what we are playing.
Why don't you start it off, my man? What you got? You got anything?
I ain't playing shit.
That's fine. I'm glad you're starting then.
Yeah,
Lee said it's been a week, so it's been a heck of a week.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for me personally, but it's all right. I make my way through. I've been continuing my way through Diablo 3. We still been like
3.
4. Sorry. I mean, like, dude, I played 3 so much.
I was like, what the hell? I was like, why'd you work backwards?
Because it's what I do. Nah, so yeah, Diablo 4, we're working our way through the story. I only play mainline story when I'm on with the boys. That's it. I mean, we're keeping it that way, so that way we're all in line. I actually started, because of my D&D that I've been getting into, I started trying to play Pillars of Eternity.
Okay.
And
how's that going?
The combat mechanics are very, very weird for me. Very, very weird for me. So I need to take a lot of time and sit and figure that shit out.
That can definitely be dicey for some people, because I remember that being the reason that Mikey never finished. Well, never got past the first like 10 minutes of Dragon Age Inquisition. He played the balls out of 1 and 2 back to back, loved it. The second he got to Inquisition, he was just like, this, like, these combat mechanics, like, it's going to take a minute for me to learn these. Like, this is crazy.
I forgot, you see, I haven't played that game so fucking
long. I never played any of them.
I forgot that they changed the mechanics in Inquisition.
Yeah.
But, yeah, trying to figure out Pillars of Eternity, and then, I mean, basically, that's been it, man. I haven't really had all that much time to do anything else.
Okay. Well, from my seat over here, we've got a couple things. So, remember that game that I told you Alex and I purchased a while ago? Well, download, not purchase, on Game Pass, Power Wash Simulator?
Oh, yeah.
So, they came out with 2 DLCs over the last, like, 6 months. One,
oh, they did?
Yeah, one was Tomb Raider one. So Alex was cleaning, you know, the Croft Mansion and all that shit. And
that's actually cool.
It was cool. But the one that was cool for me to watch her do, if you ever watch the show, you'll understand, you know, certain locations. But they came out with a SpongeBob SquarePants DLC. Where you're actually down in Bikini Bottom and everything looks just like it does in the show. It's not like weird graphics to make it look like that. Like, it looks like you were literally dropped right in Bikini Bottom. She had to clean SpongeBob's. And it was the bang for your buck was well worth it, because the amount of places that they gave you, the amount of shit that they gave you to do, you had SpongeBob's house, Patrick's house, Squidward's house, the Chum Bucket, the Krusty Krab, you had the Mermalair. That was the big one at the end that took a while to clean. You had the Mermalair. They even had her clean the Invisible Mobile, which is hilarious.
That should have went really well.
It was fun. It was definitely fun to watch. But I've been saying it forever. For people who are looking for like the style of game that is just relaxing, there's not a lot to think about, and it's just one thing. Some people's brains, like, that's what they need at that time. Give me something simple. I want to see something go from this to this quickly.
That's it.
Like, that's it. And it's the perfect game. It's,
I mean, I spent a good bit of time, well, not good, but I spent some time on Power Wash Simulator. I'm pretty sure I still have it downloaded.
And what's funny is, as far as I thought, I was like, cool, this is my intro to other simulator games now, because this one's so great. There's other ones that might give me the same feeling.
Farming,
and I tried a bunch.
Lawnmower.
I did. I downloaded Lawnmower the other day. Too involved. See, that's the
problem. That one is really involved.
That's the problem.
I couldn't get in there.
Power Wash Simulator found a way for it to not be ridiculously involved. You're not starting a company. You're not doing all this. You're just cleaning, and they give you, like, you have upgraded power washers you can get, upgraded nozzles, different soaps for different materials. That's as deep as it gets. You know, figuring out where to put ladders and different things to clean and whatnot. But I did that. There was a cooking simulator, which I thought, perfect. I love food. Alex and I, like, this is something we could both do. And but that was, like, they should have called that running a restaurant simulator. Because it's not just cooking. You've gotta call electricians and people to fix things when they go down in the shop and or in the kitchen. And it was
yeah,
too
so
much.
Yeah, that's business simulator.
Yeah.
That's not,
it was too much. But anyway, so watching her do that was fun. Anthony and I did play Chell last night. I can't wait to tell you this. So we played 4 games, we went 3-1.
Okay.
We got a little get back, which was nice, because one of the teams that beat all 3 of us beat the shit out of us last week. Remember when we played that game against the other team that had the same color scheme and they also had a snake, and I was like, oh, it's the Battle of the Snakes. I think their name is Boom Shakalaka.
Something like that. Yeah,
they beat us 5-1. Anthony and I beat them 3-0. But we ended up playing a game before that where, before the game even started, I told Ant, I was like, nope, this ain't gonna be one of them. The first person I saw, 4,501 goals. 4,501 goals.
Not even talking assists.
No.
Assists easily has to be triple that.
Who knows?
I would think it would have to be.
Who knows? What was a little bit more impressive about playing, I mean, yes, we lost. We lost 4-0 or 5-0. I don't remember which one. The score didn't quite reflect how we played, because we had a lot of chances. We just couldn't score. I wouldn't say that we had enough that we would have won, but the game easily could have been
not
five,
as bad as
five,
that
five,
fucking
three,
goalie standing on their head last
yeah, five, 5-3, 4-2, some type of shit like that. But what was wild about playing that team was, you see someone that has a shitload of goals like that, which is easily 2.5 to 3 times more than anyone else I've ever seen.
Yeah,
goals wise, in any game I've ever played, I've never seen that many just goals. I've seen points around there sparingly, maybe less than 5 times, but I've seen that. But just goals,
I mean, I've seen over 1,000 on points.
Yeah,
on total points,
and even on this year's game, I've seen Anthony. And I played a couple weeks ago. We played a couple guys with 1,000 goals, 1,000 plus goals each, and we beat them. Fine, but when I saw that, I was like, okay, what are you spamming? Because there's no way that you haven't, like, that you just play this game straight up and are not finding. I was like, okay, what are they doing?
Be some type of glitch.
I was like, are they doing that, you know, are they cherry picking? I was like, are they doing that glitch that people found where you just shoot, like, you get to the goal line and you just shoot short side? Like, are you spamming that? They didn't spam not one thing. Every goal they had was different. they had a couple clap. They had a clapper. They had a deflection. They had a wrist shot. They had a breakaway. Like, everything was different. And I was like, this is just good.
Damn. Did you figure out where they sit? Did you look?
Yeah.
I mean, because you always look.
Yeah, and obviously they had started a new team because they were in the top 500, but they had only had in total like 100 games. They had played as many games as us.
I was about to say.
That and, team.
Yeah, you're, and we're,
you're obviously not scoring 4,500 goals across 100 games.
No.
So
no, but like,
they had to have started a team over.
What division are you? What division are we now? G5?
I forget.
Okay.
I'm not sure. So that was that. But what I have been playing, because I'm trying to go through the run of games and a new one has just come out. So I started playing the Paper Mario games because the original is on the emulator on N64. And I'd played it for a couple minutes. I got it like when it first came out when I was a kid. So
I think Jess played that.
It's great. And I'm actually thinking of putting games like that in front of Alex to see if she's interested because... You know, one thing that she struggles with sometimes in games, not all the time, but what can, like, deter her from continuing to play a game is the dual sticks to control camera, because then when you also have, like, real... Like, she's fine with that, but games that also have a combat element, it gets a little tougher. So for her, a turn-based game might be better, because then you don't have that, like, panic mode of having to dodge and roll and this and that, and all of a sudden, like, the camera's looking the wrong way. And whatnot, so and set in, you know, like a universe like Mario's, kind of nice and entry level for a lot of people. So
yeah, linear.
Yeah,
lines up.
Yeah. But I've been having a lot of fun. I'm on chapter four, I believe. But I enjoy it. Just it's one of my favorite Mario games, just because it's different. You don't get a lot of, outside of Super Mario RPG, which is nice that they're remaking, which is coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
That's the only other turn-based Mario game I can think of. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with that. I think at some point tonight, I'll probably get into a little bit mo. A little bit mo.
But
yeah, that's it.
Hopefully next week we'll have all three of us together and we'll be able to give you that consoles through history. But until that point, Andy.
Yeah,
I made him drink water. Well, no, he was drinking water and then I just called on him. So, Andy, tell the people where they can find us.
Absolutely. It is time, everybody, to connect with CGC. You can find us at our website, consolegamingcrew.com. You can email us at consolegamingcrew@gmail.com, but still, as always, the best place to get at us is Twitter. We are at Console Crew. When we get a little bit, you know, when we get back into our streaming schedule, you can, we do still have YouTube, I guess. Yeah, all of our stuff will also be on YouTube at Console Gaming Crew and Instagram, Console Gaming Crew as well. We are also a part of Boss Rush Network. Boss Rush Network is a collective of not just people in the gaming community, but they've got
all
they've got blog, they've got bloggers, they've got
all over.
All over, I guess is the best way to put it. You can find us there at
Boss, what the fuck was that?
BossRush.net, be better. And now when we get our Twitch streams back up and running, because I am not lying, I am dying for a Freaky Friday comeback. I really am. And there's a lot to choose from. You can find us on Twitch at CGC Podcast. Well, I meant for me as well, not just for you. For me.
I know.
I know. I don't... You don't still play on Monday nights, do you?
Oh, no. I still play on Monday nights, yeah.
Maybe down the line we'll get another stream on Monday nights when Wes does his co-op stuff with the other guys. And then
yep.
Friday nights will again be for... If we're not chilling, it'll be some Freaky Friday. But, yeah, that's where you can get at us. At that dubba-dubba-dubba.
All right, y'all. So, as always, we want to tell y'all to stay safe. Just do what you got to do to feel good, because it is always about feeling good.
Always.
And as always...
Game on.
Game on, y'all. Peace.